My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness.
This is the voice of hope.
I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand.
In case you have just joined us, this is the voice of hope. The Voice of Hope is a Bible-centered radio ministry designed to alert you to that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Yes, my friend, this is the Voice of Hope. And that's how it sounded when the very first program was introduced on June the 2nd, 1968. The voice you heard was the voice of Glenn Sell, the first announcer for the Voice of Hope, 50 years ago. And that first program was aired on WDAC 94.5 FM in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. It gives me real joy to welcome you to the program today as we celebrate the faithfulness of the Lord. Surely, He is worthy of our praise. Whatever has been accomplished in the ministry of Heralds of Hope in these past 50 years is because of God's faithfulness.
Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth.
Amen. Thank you, Rosedale Corral. You know, friend, I enjoy history. It was my favorite subject when I was in school. And not only did I enjoy the history classes, I read lots of books with historical themes. One of the things that excites me about history is seeing how God used people to accomplish His purposes. In Isaiah chapter 45, verse 1, God refers to King Cyrus of Persia as, quote, His anointed. Cyrus was a pagan, and yet God, in the grand sweep of history, was able to use Cyrus to accomplish His purposes. And then there were godly men like Samuel and David and John the Baptist, who were set apart for God's use early in life. And that's how Heralds of Hope began. God set apart one man, Dr. Jeotis Yoder, and gave him both a vision and a call to be a voice of hope. A voice, as Jude says in his epistle, to earnestly contend for the faith once delivered to the saints. You see, this ministry began because of a concern that the church was drifting away from the truth of God's Word. Dr. Yoder's daily interaction with future church leaders in the college and seminary classroom gave him a unique opportunity to sense the direction the church was going. And so the Yoders began to ask God to raise up a voice for truth, a voice to stand firmly on the authority of the Scripture. And God called them to be that voice. And then God brought together 10 men who formed a board of directors to take that call and commitment and create the founding documents of Heralds of Hope. So our articles of incorporation, our statement of faith, and our philosophy and objectives articulate that commitment. If you would take the time to read them, you would see that God's word takes preeminence.
Thy word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path, a way to guide and to save me from sin and show me the heavenly way. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee.
God's word is the only reliable guide we have, my friend. If we follow it, we will never be disappointed. That was the Hope Chorale doing the singing. The Chorale was an a cappella group that was put together in the early days of Heralds of Hope. The purpose for the Chorale was to provide sacred music for the radio programs. But it didn't take long for the quality of their music to attract outside attention, and soon they were singing in other venues. The Chorale was directed by John O. Yoder II, and it had a reputation for quality and variety. Their repertoire was always well rehearsed and enthusiastically presented. So here's a recording of the Chorale again with a lively song of praise. In Thee is Gladness. I hope that song lifted your spirit. God alone is the source of true gladness and joy. If you were going to begin a radio program featuring expository teaching from the Bible, where would you begin? Well, I believe there's no better place to begin than at the beginning. And that's exactly what Dr. Yoder did in his message from Genesis chapter 1. And in just a few moments, you will hear a recording of that very first message ever aired on the Voice of Hope. But before we listen to this timeless message, let's take a moment to pray. Gracious God, thank you for your great faithfulness. You called this ministry into existence, and you are providing for its continuation. You have demonstrated your faithfulness repeatedly to the Yoders, and you are demonstrating your faithfulness to us today on this special 50th anniversary celebration. Father, I thank you for all the partners in the ministry, from the past and the present. Truly, they have been a living demonstration of your faithfulness. Many of those early ones have gone on to their eternal reward, but we remember their partnership with thankfulness. Now, Father, I give you thanks for all those who have stepped forward to fill in their ranks, and I pray that you will continue to raise up more people to partner with us in proclaiming the message of hope. Father, prepare our hearts for the teaching of the Word. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Now here's Dr. Yoder with the original message from the very first broadcast of The Voice of Hope. It's titled, In the Beginning, There Was God.
The beginning has a fascinating ring. We are lured to explore the unknown. When there is a measurable quantity, to find the beginning is rather simple. But like a rainbow, what we want most to know often recedes from us. For the history of man and the universe, there must have been a beginning. No one can even think of the finitude of man as endless. But one lifespan after another has taken us farther and farther away from the beginning, until it is lost in the gray, hoary haze of the past. Men have searched in vain, they have speculated, but the beginning has evaded every researcher. The first book of the Bible provides us with some basic and definable information. By the opening words of Genesis 1, in the beginning, we learn a great deal of truth. The scripture reads as follows. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, Let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament, and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. And the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, and the herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. And God said, Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and morning were the fourth day. And God said, Let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and the fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales, and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And God said, Let the earth bring forth a living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said, Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, Behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which there is fruit yielding seed. To you it shall be given for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. From this word of God, we are required to make some very definite assertions. The first of these is, God created all. The sequence of the six-day creation week interests us. We note, day one, there was light. Day two, there was water division. Day three, God dealt with the land. Day four, he returned to dealing again with the light. And day five created marine life in the waters. And day six, land animals for the land. Now we could ask our scientific friends to investigate this sequence of the six-day creation week, but we would be disappointed because it is too long ago for a scientific investigation. We therefore assert that God created all, even though the sequence is of particular interest to us. The commands of God creating all arrest us. Seven times in this chapter, the scripture records that God said, Let there be, and there was. Let there be light, he said, and there was light. Let there be a firmament, and there was a firmament. Let the waters be gathered, and the waters gathered. Let the earth bring forth, and the earth brought forth. Let there be lights, and there were lights in the heaven. Let there be marine life in the waters, and there was. And let the earth bring forth living creature, and the earth brought forth. Seven times God said, Let there be, and there was. We work so hard to accomplish so little. But God spoke, and by his power, all creation sprang into existence. Genesis 1 records that God acted in creating this world. 18 times, we are told, God said, or God saw, or God blessed. We may therefore say, from Genesis 1, we must assert that God created all. One of the most appalling realizations for man today is that we have discovered power that we cannot control. Man's ability to discover has outrun his ability to discern. Not so God. The first chapter of Genesis requires us to assert that God created all. But it also requires us to assert that God controls all. God did not make a bigger world than he is able to control. God controls all. And the first chapter of Genesis makes this abundantly clear. As early as verse 2, we are informed that he pervades all. For the scripture tells us, "And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." No matter if we do not fully understand how this may have been, the record states it without qualifications, that the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deep. Much later, the psalmist David caught the sense of the pervasion of God in all of his created universe. He said, "Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me." Everywhere there is witness, there is testimony, that God controls all, for his Spirit pervades all. Whether you turn to the first chapter of Genesis or to the 139th Psalm. But even more, God controls all in that he has proscribed all. As early as day 3 in the 6-day creation week, the Lord made it clear that he proscribed certain boundaries of control. "For here," he said, "let the herb tree yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth." The phrase "after his kind" is used in this chapter a total of 9 times. All fruit trees, all grass and herbs, all marine life, all fowls of the air, all land animals are said to bring forth after their kind. "And even to man," he said, "be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth." Now, is it not clear that as early as Genesis 1, in the beginning, God proscribed certain controls and stated it in the brief phrase, "after his kind"? Men in the fields of the natural sciences are proving this truth every day. There are boundaries in the natural order of life beyond which we cannot go. We can very well, therefore, from the Bible, say that in the beginning there was God. No one can make a more essential affirmation than this great truth. And from it, we can assert that God created all, and God controls all. The affirmation, "in the beginning there was God," must be made for maximum living and for comfortable dying.
My friend, even though the message you just heard was aired 50 years ago, it's still relevant for today. In fact, it's especially relevant today in our postmodern culture that denies the existence of any absolute truth. I remind you just how critical it is for you to understand these opening chapters of Genesis. How you interpret and apply the truth presented there will affect your understanding of everything that follows. If you don't believe these opening chapters present a literal six-day creation, you've created a huge problem for yourself. Because now, you must decide, all the way through the Bible, what should be taken literally and what shouldn't. It's right here where intellect gets elevated above faith and the whole foundation gets shaky with man's theories. If God didn't give us these first chapters in a language we can easily understand, then we don't have a word from God. My friend, I hope you've been blessed by our going back to the beginning. Back to the beginning of the Bible, and back to the beginning of the Voice of Hope. To celebrate the Lord's faithfulness these past 50 years, we're offering you a recorded copy of the first 5 original messages for the Voice of Hope. This can be your memento of our 50th year of ministry. Just ask for the CD set, In the Beginning. There are several ways you can contact me. You can send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you can call us toll-free at 866-960-0292. Or you may write to the Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or log on to our website, heraldsofhope.org, to listen to this teaching at your convenience. When you write, ask for the CD set, In the Beginning. And if you have any comments or questions, or even a prayer request, we'd be delighted to hear from you. Now, once again, our email address is hope@heraldsofhope.org. Our mailing address, The Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or pick up your phone and call us toll-free at 866-960-0292. If you'd like to help support this ministry financially, you can include a gift with your letter, or you can donate securely online at heraldsofhope.org. We're using our 50th anniversary as a time of reevaluating our radio budget. If you want this program to continue airing on this station that you're listening to, then we really must hear from you today. We depend upon your fervent prayers and your generous financial support to enable the Voice of Hope to be on the air until Jesus comes in the air. Now, friend, I invite you to join me next week for another broadcast of the Voice of Hope. Lord willing, we'll be acknowledging God's faithfulness during our celebration of Anniversary Month. So until we meet again,
shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee.